another episode this week of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles here, and I've been excited because today I got to sit down with Tori, who is new with us and her family here at Providence, and it's been exciting to get to know them, to get to see their heart for ministry, their heart for family, their heart for faith, and just all the exciting thing that God is doing with them. So I hope you enjoy this episode as we sit and we chat about all those things. Hey, a couple quick things to remind you of too. Don't want you to forget that Wednesday is our last Christmas family night, so we don't want you to miss out on that. And then also on December the 24th, that is our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And that's going to be happening at 5 p.m. here at the church. It's such a great time where we get to come together and fellowship for the holidays. And it's a time where you can bring your family who's in town, your friends, doesn't matter, whoever. It's a wonderful evening of just worship, devotion, and just centering ourselves on the purpose of Christmas. So anyway, hope you enjoy today's episode. So grab you a cup of coffee or wherever you're at, take a sip, and let's get into it. Well, welcome back to another episode. Pastor Charles here, and I'm excited because I have the very fun Tori Collier with me. Tori is new to us here at Providence, her and her family, and so we're excited. She reached out and said, hey, I'd love to do a podcast, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, so, I'm so excited to be here.
I mean, it's one of those things where you just kind of throw it out there and whoever responds, and I love it because all the people that are responding for the most part have been people that are fairly new at church, which I think is fun because if you've been at church for a long time, it's nice to get to know some of the people that are new coming in that you get to do church with and things like that. So I'm excited about that.
But yeah. Well, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be on here and talking with you. And what, I've been at Providence for about 6 months now. So
it has been a while, hasn't it?
6 months. Yeah.
It's been some time. Because you guys moved into Shawboro. Mm-hmm. And then I think the way that you found us is you just put like a blanket post on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I did. On the Moyock page, I said, hey, I'm looking for a church. And the community here responded. And it was just Jessica, it was Kyle, it was Emily, it was everybody. And they said, hey, come try our church. And I said, okay, here I go. And I haven't left since. So,
well, I guess that's good. I mean, I guess that feels like we've done something right.
You have. The community here, the outreach has been, it's just been so welcoming. And I told like my friends and my family, since, you know, trying to find a home church coming here, it's just always been welcoming. It's always been smiles. And the very first time we walked through the door, it was, hey, we haven't seen you here. What's your name? And I loved that. And I thought, that's such a good group that we want to be involved with and get plugged in here. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they're good like that. I mean, they will, when they know that you're new, they'll come all around you and just hang out. And I think that's a good culture that's been built here. But I remember the first time you and I think you and Skylar mm-hmm. came for the first time. Yeah. And it was just exciting. Like you were fresh. You were ready to go. You were all smiles and you were just excited to kind of be somewhere. But you've kind of grown up in church a little bit, right?
I did. So I was adopted by my grandparents when I was 3, and they had us in church from like the moment we came to live with them. So every Sunday, every Wednesday, and then Sunday evenings, and then we would host prayer meetings at our house. So we were fully dived into the church life.
That's amazing. But you grew up in Virginia, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Chesapeake area. So we started out at one church and then moved to another church and then kind of found our home church right in the Great Bridge area.
That's pretty cool. And like, I like the Great Bridge area. Yeah. It's pretty nice. So you've kind of, you call Great Bridge then mm-hmm. kind of your home.
That's home.
Like that's where home is. That where all of your family is, or is that just?
So the majority of my family is there. My mom and dad, who are my Nana and my Papa, are there, and their parents. My grandfather's parents have passed, but my mom's sisters are there. My husband's family is there. And then unfortunately my sisters live elsewhere. So I have one sister in California and one in Lynchburg. So
y'all are like, you have one sister on one mm-hmm. coast and then you're on the other coast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun too. Cause I'll start texting her at like 7 a.m. and you know, it's 3 hours earlier there. So I'm like, oh, so sorry. Forgot you're still asleep. So
I love doing that to my friends. Like, I feel like that is, I feel like that's the perk of being able to see the sun a lot earlier than them. Like, hey, this is what happens.
Yeah. So much has already happened to my day by the time she wakes up. So
she wakes up and you're just like, I'm already past that now.
I've had a full conversation in text with myself.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. And then, but you live here, you mm-hmm. and John, correct? Mm-hmm. That's your husband.
Yeah,
that's my husband. And then Skylar, but you are... You do HR, is that right?
I do, yeah. So I am in HR. I'm actually in a talent function in HR. So I am a recruiter. I hate that term, which there's no shame to be a recruiter. But for me, I have a BA in HR management. So I have my career projection where I want to be. And when I took on this role, I love it. I love talking to people every single day, but I love the operations side of HR. So I love talking internally with employees and problem solving and creating a better workplace. So I love all of that. So I'm hoping to get back into that space eventually with our organization.
So do you, I guess you do like work from home type stuff right now. So you don't really have to go into an office space or anything like that. Do you enjoy that? Or do you like me, I crave being around people. Like if I'm sure Kaylee here hates it because every now and then I'm just like in her office, just sitting there talking about nothing. But
that's fun,
I need people, right? Yeah. Like, is that you or you?
So I'm indifferent about it right now. I spent the first 6.5 years of my HR world in the office. So I was hands-on. I was in the field. I was, busybody all the time. And I missed a lot of Skylar's life. And I felt like I had a lot of mom guilt from that.
Yeah.
So having the opportunity to go fully remote, I don't know. I do miss the camaraderie of coworkers and being around people. But I think what some people don't recognize is that HR is a very lonely field. Like I was the sole person of HR in our office at the whole time that I was in there. And it's like, you're always the bad guy or you're always the person that's, enforcing policies. So it does become very lonely because you can't share a lot with other people and you can really only confide in other HR members and nobody else sits in Virginia. So it was really just me. So being at home has been fine because it's me and my cat all day long.
So your cat is your silent employee that you complain to.
Yeah. If I start talking, if I take a phone call, if I get on a meeting, she jumps up on the back of my chair and is on my shoulder immediately. She's like a parrot. She's ready to go.
That's
so
amazing.
She knows all of our secrets.
So if you need to know the secrets of the company, just go kidnap your cat.
Get my cat. She might meow for you, but
that's hilarious.
Yeah. She knows everything.
We have one dog. I used to be a big pet person. As I've gotten more kids and I've gotten older, the less I hate dander in my house. But we have the one dog and I was like, okay, well, it'd be nice to have something protective.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No,
I'll come into the house like late at night and he's just like, oh, hey, what's up? Like no alerting, no nothing. Like people will come by and drop by and he's just like, oh, hey, what's up, new friend? I'm that's not okay. Like you're supposed to alert. Like I should have got a chihuahua because
they
just bark constantly.
It would yap at you the whole time. Oh. We wanted to get a dog, but we found out last year that Skylar's allergic to dogs.
Aww.
We had to go through that whole allergy testing panel and that was not fun, but we found she's allergic to them. So that's why we went with a cat and I had never had a cat before.
Really?
And my husband's a cat person. So that we adopted our cat and I'm hoping eventually she grows out of the allergy of dogs because I grew up with dogs. So yeah. I'd love to have one day.
The only reason I don't do cats is at least a dog, like you show up and they're like, oh, you're my best friend. I love you so much. Let's go play. Let's go do. And they're hyper like me. A cat, they're just like, I don't really care if you're here or not. Like,
I know.
This is, you gave me this house and I do appreciate that, but you don't have to be here. Like
no.
You can, yeah. And
it's
just,
an emotional roller coaster with cats too.
just
act like they're your best friend and then they want to attack you at the same time.
Yeah. And I just don't.
Don't love that.
I already have like four of those in my house and they're kids.
I know.
I don't need that in an animal too, But
that's funny.
It's interesting. It kind of feels like HR is kind of like that solo pastoring role where, it's hard. Like even as a pastor, you want to talk about pastoral things, but then you're like, I don't want to bother my friends with what's going on. Or that's always been kind of a struggle, I think, in that solo world that people don't recognize and understand.
Yeah. And like I said, it's lonely, but like there are ways that I found to have the conversations about what I was struggling with without disclosing, confidential information. So there are ways to say like, hey, I'm struggling because I had to deal with this situation at work and I can't give you all the details, but here's how it affected me this week. And I do love in the role itself, I did have like on my desk at work, I have a coffee mug that says Jesus and coffee. So I'm like, I was always putting a little seed out there where I could, because, you know, we can't talk a lot about Jesus in the HR world, but it did open a lot of doors. And I did have a lot of conversations with employees that would come to my office and see it and be like, oh, what church do you go to? And then that opens a whole, like they initiated it, so I can talk about it.
And that's where I do think that some of that stuff can be fun. And, you know, we have a lot of people in the business world in our church, and they have that same struggle where it's like, what I want to do versus what I can do. There's a big fine line there. And so you have to just be careful, but we always try to encourage them. You know, the biggest example that you can be of Christ is just being like him in the way that we carry ourselves, have our character, and the way that we carry our attitudes and our conversations. And so there's a lot there that can be evidenced too. But so tell me a little bit about like you. So I know that you and I, we've had like maybe like two or three conversations. I know that you and Melina, y'all talk all the time. She's like got her little mom table there on Wednesday nights. And but tell me this, I mean, in whatever you're comfortable with, I'm not gonna say share your deepest, darkest secrets, because that's weird.
That's scary.
But just kind of tell me about you. Tell me about like coming into faith. You know, you talked a little bit about grandparents and, or I guess your mom and dad in church and things like that. But kind of tell me about like the way that your testimony, how you got shaped in faith, how God kind of has been working in you.
For sure. So, like I said, I grew up in church with my Nana and my Papa, who are my parents. But, you know, for me, I was baptized when I was about seven. And then when I got into my teenage years, I kind of got a little rebellious and I kind of just walked my own walk and I stepped out on faith. And then I went away for college and had some not so fun experiences there, which caused me to have a medical withdrawal from college. So I came home and I said, I'll just finish up here. And then I ended up getting married very young, like 19 or 20, very, very young. And we had a baby. And then from there, it just kind of went downhill. And I definitely had stepped out of, you know, being a practicing Christian. I knew who Jesus was. I knew what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. And then it wasn't until about maybe 3 years ago that I said, okay, this is not the life I want to be living. I made some mistakes, which caused a lot of like fear and anxiety for me. So I said, let me just kind of turn my life around and come back to Christ. And I started doing that by going to church with my parents again. So I started at their church, and then I never really felt like I had a home church. So through that, I did a whole bunch of different church visits in Chesapeake or in Virginia. And then I started studying the Bible myself. So I said, you know, I can't find the right church, so let me just figure it out on my own. So I have the Bible app on my phone. And anytime I was having a different thought, I would type it in and I'd say, what does the Bible say about this? Or what does the Bible say about that? And that's really where I started deep diving, because I wanted to know more and I wanted to figure out how. Cause I hate reading. So like to put that out there,
I hate reading.
So trying to read the Bible for somebody who hates reading, and I have ADHD. So like trying to, I'm like, this does not work for me. So I found different devotionals that were working for me, or even like the short passages where it would just bring up one verse and then I would read the whole book and I would say, okay, well that's really relevant. And by read, I mean, I'd hit play and the guy would read it out loud.
Yes, 100%. I'm with you.
But that's really how I came back to Christ over the last 3 years, was just curiosity. And, you know, I wanted to figure out all of the questions that I had. Are there answers for them? And they are. They're all in the Bible. So finding those answers and really verifying that, you know, this is something I want to do and this is a life I want to lead for my daughter, that's really how I came back. Because I always knew the way. I just hadn't chosen it for myself yet.
Well, and I think the one thing that you hit on there that I love is, and I think so many people struggle with it, because I mean, hearing you talk, there's a lot of similarities in just how I've also, like, you know, there's those moments. I wouldn't say that it was like a rough kind of childhood, teenage type years. I was always kind of too scared to do anything bad because then it was like, my parents are going to kill me if I do something terrible.
Mine did.
Oh yeah. Well, man, you came back to life pretty good. I'm proud of you.
I did. Thank you.
But then just like trying to figure out like, how do you handle all of this junk that life just magically throws at you and handle it with grace? And that was a hard thing for me, because I was in the same boat. Like my first church I got fired from and I didn't realize how much that impacted me until I got to my second church. And then every time that the pastor would just want to talk with me just to see how I'm doing,
yeah,
I always consider that to be like, I'm about to get fired.
Bad,
again.
Yeah.
Like this, how is this happening again? Mm. And so it ended up like a whole spiral of just panic and anxiety. And you're just like, how?
Right.
Like you have to relearn how to handle your stress.
You do. And I will say I experienced that too. I was let go from my first HR job and mm-hmm. that was, you know, way prior to
so,
me.
Hold on then. How does HR let go of HR? Like, I don't get that. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, it happens more often than you think. So what happened with us was we had overstaffed our HR department.
Gotcha.
And I was the most recent hire. We got a new director and he was like, we don't need you. And I was like, okay, great. Well, bye then. So that really was awful for me, especially I think I was maybe 21 or 22. Oh. So that was really damaging for me, but it also really encouraged me. It was like, okay, well, I'm going to be the best that I can be at this mm-hmm. so that this doesn't happen again. So I went back to college. I got my degree while being a single mom, while taking care of Sky. So my days looked like I was working. I would leave our house at like 6:30, get to work by like 7:30 because I worked at the oceanfront. So it was about an hour drive. So I'd get there about 7:30 for an 8 o'clock start. And then I wouldn't get home until like 6:30 at night. So I'd be with Sky for like an hour. Mm. And then I would start my schoolwork 7:30 till whatever time I finished it. And then all over again for 2.5 years until I got my degree. But it was that pushed me to get my degree. So being terminated for my first role for a position elimination is what they call it, just so you know, if they're getting rid of it. So that's what pushed me to go back. And then also for Skylar, because I was a single mom. So I was like, how am I going to make sure that I can set her up for success in her future if I like don't have any money? So getting into HR, my very first director told me, if you get into HR, because she was also a single mom, she said, you're going to be able to provide for yourself and your daughter for the rest of your life. If that's something that you want and you don't anticipate ever getting married again, which I didn't. And she said, this is the route to go. And she told me the steps I needed to take. So shout out to her and then shout out to them for firing me at the same time to get me where I'm at today.
It sounds like you recovered a little bit better than I did. I didn't recover so well. No. It was always, you know, it was, but I mean, it was one of those things where it was probably necessary. I didn't fit there. Like it just wasn't my culture.
Yeah. I will say like at that time in my life, losing my job was like the least of everything that was going on. I had, you know, I had all of these personal things going on with Skylar's dad. And it was just like that losing my job was awful, but like everything else in perspective for me, I was like, I'll find a new job. Wow.
Well, it sounds like you handled it with grace then, because it just from even then, just that kind of that aspect where you say that the curiosity led you to dive deeper, you know, all that kind of coming around to, you know, sometimes we get to those humps in life and you can either face those things head on and challenge yourself over them. Or I think like so many people, they see the mountain in front of them and they're just like, I can't do that right now. Yeah. I just can't do it. No. And I've seen that happen a lot. Like I've seen people in especially when it comes to a faith crisis, they're just like, you know what? I don't have time to deep dive into this right now. But you did the opposite. Like you said, I need to deep dive into this. Like there's a necessity.
I need to know more. I was so curious about it. I was like, these things that are being said, like, how is this true? Like what I know when the biggest question that I had was like, is heaven real? Like, and how do we know that heaven's real? So I started digging in and understanding what heaven was and what it's going to look like when you get there. Reading Revelation is scary. So I wouldn't recommend
it. It can be a little intimidating.
Don't read that to start. But like when I started researching, Revelation was one that was talking a lot about heaven. And then even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk through different things about heaven. So it's just like, I just felt like, okay, I can check that off. Heaven is real. So now what other questions do I have? And then it was just learning more about the miracles Jesus did. Like for us, we don't see those in day to day. We don't see people being raised from the dead. We don't see. And so for me, it was like, you know, faith is not by sight. So for me, I was struggling with that a lot. And then just reading the Bible, and it's just so overwhelming how much truth is in the Bible that it like took a lot of those questions and just started fading away. So the more I read, the more I believed, the more I could see happening, even if it's not raising somebody from the dead, miracles are still happening every day.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I guess it was just a brain shift for me on what I'm seeing versus what I'm seeing from a biblical perspective.
Yeah. And that's the hard thing I think about faith is, you know, like you said, faith is not something that is always visible. Mm-hmm. Like it has to be something where you can tangibly understand that it's true. And that we understand that it's real,
mm-hmm.
but we are always looking for that evidence, right? Like we're always looking for the billboard
mm-hmm.
sign that says, oh yeah, like I'm here. Like I see you and I understand you. And, but I think sometimes that's the hard part about feeling mm-hmm. seen. I think even within that world, because we get so involved in routine
mm-hmm.
that we forget to even dive into the, well, how does this spiritual life work within my daily life?
Right.
Like how does that work? You know? And that's one of the big things that I try to push here as much as I can is, this, like even like Ruth yesterday, we
mm-hmm.
probably one of the more boring parts of the book of Ruth, right? I mean, it's Boaz and Ruth get married and then they have a baby mm-hmm. and then that baby has Jesse. And then Jesse has to, you know, it's just, there's nothing really like too tangibly crazy there. But when you look at it in light of everything else, you realize, well, God is very intentional
yeah.
with what he does and how he does it. And so then yes. I ask that question all the time, like, how does this shape my everyday life?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a...
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
Thinking about it right now. That I don't know. I have an example of where I know God was in our story this past year of how he shaped our world right now, our whole life has been shaped by his path. Cause before we put an offer on our house here in Shawboro, we had put an offer on a house in Chesapeake that was perfect. Like when I tell you perfect, in our opinion, it was next to Sky School, 5 minutes from John's parents, 5 minutes from my parents, 2 minutes from my great grandma. I was like, this is it. And we were like one day away from closing and we got a call that the loan we had would not fit the house or something. We had a, I think we had an FHA loan and we had a sewer system or a septic system and a well or something. And the drain field wasn't far enough away. So it tanked our whole process. And I mean, I was so sad. I was like, no, like this is where I want to be. And then I was also going through a situation at work where I really didn't have much control over it. I was having to like overperform basically to say, I know how to do my job. So I had those two battles going on at one time and I surrendered it all to God. And I said, I cannot take this on right now. I have to focus on work and I have to make sure that I'm doing the best I can. So God, I'm going to give you the housing crisis that we're having right now. And I know you will provide for our family.
Yeah.
And the next day a house hit our MLS and we said, we're going to go see it. And it's our house now. And I know it was God ordained that for us because we found providence and we found the community we've been looking for and we've found friendships here. And I'm like, okay, had we ended up in the house in Chesapeake, none of this greatness would have happened afterwards.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, God, you are so great because what I wanted versus what you wanted for us, his plan is always the better plan. And it's just like the full surrender of knowing he's got a plan for us. And it was, I don't know, it was very encouraging as a Christian. Like it's very encouraging to know that we have a father that loves us enough. That's going to provide for us even when we feel like, oh, I'm so scared right now.
It's such those scary moments are there. And I know that everyone experiences those. I mean, I know that we're not sitting there like uniquely going, well, no one experiences what we all there. But I remember that like the time that I got first let go of that, mm-hmm. that ministry position, Melina and I had only been married, golly, not even 9 months. And it was right after Christmas.
Mm.
Like my parents had just left from visiting us in North Dallas. And then I get called into the pastor's office like the next day, the first day I'm back at work.
Oh my goodness.
And it was right before New Year's, like all this stuff. And you're just like, this is really not how I envisioned my next year going. Right.
Yeah.
And then they didn't offer very much in terms of severance. Like they were like, we're going to give you a month. And I'm like, that's great because I just re-signed a lease back in May on my apartment. So I'm kind of stuck with that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because we saw how God carried us. We took a month severance and we were able to stretch that for like 2 months.
Wow.
And then I got a job with a guy at the church who didn't really like how things went down. And he had a fence building company. And so I worked for like $125 a day building fences. And he was getting ready to put me over a whole crew making more money than I was making in ministry. And I was like, that could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
the Texas
then I found,
heat.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful. But then I found the church that we were at for like 13 years. And that was a good, resting place for us. But, you know, and then we thought, well, hey, you know, once this pastor retires, like the church was already priming us to be there. But then just some stuff went down and I don't want to go into too much detail,
That's okay.
You know, it, because some of those people still listen. I don't want it to come across poorly, but, you know, in that process of some stuff that happened behind the scenes, we kind of said, you know, God, maybe this is something that we need to look at venturing out. Never thought about leaving the state of Texas. And then we got kind of in with Providence here, prayed about it, thought about it. Melina saw how close it was to the ocean. So she was like, yeah, that's great. She didn't care.
That's a win.
But, you know, we look back at it now and golly, it has been such a relief for us.
Yeah.
Like as a family to be able to have that, that separation from just all of that mess that we'd been trying to make work. You know, we try to make all that stuff work. And then it was nice to just be able to walk out into an area of like, we know nobody. Like it, we don't know a soul and we're going to have to really build our life from the ground up and just rely on me and her to do that. Like we don't have any family support. We don't have any,
just you two.
It's just us in our church family. And it's been incredible to see the church step up and be that family, in those moments and those in between times. And it's been incredible.
I feel like I can relate in a little way. I mean, I still have family there about 30 minutes away, but being here, it is very isolating because we didn't know anybody coming down here. So a big thing for me was, you know, finding a home church pretty quickly so that Skylar would have friends down here because she goes to school back in Virginia. So it's not like she's at the elementary schools around here. She's not making friends. And I knew for me, a lot of my friends that I still have today came from church, and a lot of my parents' friends that they still have today are from church. So I knew getting a home church for us and getting planted in and, you know, diving in and being in the ministries and stuff was really going to also help us grow relationships and friendships, and hopefully we'll have some long-term friendships out of this. I mean, I've only been here 6 months, so we'll see. I already have some great friends, and I mean, we're doing even this week we're doing a fun little girls' night for Sky and some of the girls here at church at one of the other ladies' house. So it's gonna be so fun. But it's just getting plugged in has been the most fulfilling thing too, is just knowing that people want to talk to you. They want to be part of your life. They want to be in your community. It's just been so fun. And my husband's even seen it too. And he's gotten plugged in with a few of the guys, and he even games with a couple of the guys.
That's awesome.
Too. So they're ministering to him in a way too. So I appreciate that.
And that's awesome. I mean, and I think that's really kind of the goal of church, is building community and allowing that to happen and not, you know, I always tried to think like it's the pastor's job to build the program, to build it. But reality is the best kind of community to be built is one that's organic.
Yeah.
You know, where guys just get together, ladies just get together, just kids just get together and hang out. Yeah. So,
and then they're asking to hang out and they want to hang out. And then they want to do more things together. Like my husband's like, hey, do you think he wants to go to Bass Pro with me next weekend? I was like, text him and find out.
Anytime people want to go to Bass Pro, probably. Yeah. Depends on how much money everybody wants to spend.
Right.
And that's, I mean, you know, there's a couple guys here that even it's been fun to say, hey, man, there's a concert in Virginia Beach. And it's not like at a nice place. It's not like a hole in the wall dive. It's like, it's a fun band, dude. It's stuff we grew up on. Do you want to go listen to them? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So it's nice having those groups that you can get involved in and connect with. And it's hard because, you know, I was always taught in ministry, like you don't make friends, right? Because you never know when they're going to turn on you. And I'm like, what a sad way to do ministry. Like always being afraid that people are going to turn on you instead of just enjoying the fact that we get to fellowship together and enjoy life together.
And, and enjoying people in their lives. Yeah. That is so wild.
Yeah. And I'm a people person. I'm like, I'm like, I am a dog. Like I'm a Labrador at heart. Like I want to be around people.
Oh my goodness.
I do those personality assessments and it always comes back golden retriever. I'm like, awesome.
You light up when people come in.
Oh yeah. I know.
Like, I'm so excited to see you today.
That's the beauty of ADHD.
Yes.
I guess. So ADHD too, right?
Yes.
So we get to be like, we're like ADHD siblings. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
So did you also get to have a fun time in school trying to figure that process out?
Oh, it was so fun. It was a lot of different medication trials. It was a lot of different stimulating trials. I mean, even now as an adult, I'm like, I hate taking ADHD medication just because of how it makes me feel, just like the headaches and stuff. But I found 3 cups of coffee a day, I'm productive.
Oh, yeah.
As long as I have 3, I am the most productive person because caffeine stimulates your brain. So I'm like, I'm ready to roll all of the time. Don't talk to me before I get the caffeine.
Yeah.
But after that, good.
And that's one thing that I discovered, too, like later in life, because, you know, they called us the Ritalin Rangers when we were in church together, me and my buddy Zach. But I found out in college, I was like, man, coffee helps kind of center me into the focus of what I need, where most people, it like wires them and they can't sleep and things like that. I'll drink coffee at night and it calms me down.
Yes.
It helps me relax.
Yes.
It helps me, because for ADHD brains, the stimulants, they help kind of relax everything going
they
on
do.
Where in a normal person's brain, well, we're normal. They're abnormal.
Right. That's how I see it too. I mean, I come up with the best ideas when I'm not drinking coffee. It's crazy up here, but I will tell you, I'm the most productive, like work-wise, in the morning because I have just had coffee, and then I have coffee again at like 2 PM and then I'm productive the rest of the day. If I don't have that 2 PM, you can bet I'm slacking off a little bit, but
yes,
I have to. I mean, I know it stimulates it. It's a natural thing. That's not, you know, I'm not against medicine at all in any way, but ADHD medicine can make you feel icky, and it does make me feel icky. So I'm like, why not? I love coffee. I'll just keep chugging that.
And you're just a different person on it. Like I remember, like, you go through school on ADHD meds and you're just a drone.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like,
my parents called it zombie mode.
Yeah.
They're like, we can tell when you're on, have taken your meds that day versus when you haven't, because I played sports growing up, volleyball.
Yeah.
I did soccer. And if I would take it, I would be so like, by the end of the day, my head's hurting so bad. I'm trying to play a volleyball game and I'm like, this is so not fun. And I just felt gross the whole time. The days I didn't take it, I was a high performer. I was doing really well on the volleyball court afterwards. So I think my sophomore, junior year of high school, I said, I'm not taking this anymore. Like, I want to perform well. I was, you know, trying to go to college for volleyball. Never happened. And then I was like, I don't know. I just said, I can't take it anymore. I can't do it. It also was having, for me, it created some like eating disorders and stuff a young girl, which kind of has been fun to navigate now as an adult. But I mean, I was severely underweight as a junior in high school. And I thought a lot of it is from the suppression that comes with having ADHD, because you're not hungry on it. So I forced myself to get off of it, to get back to a healthy weight. So,
yeah, I think I stopped taking mine my last semester of my freshman year. And I didn't tell my parents. They were like, you haven't been taking your medicine? I was like, no, I haven't. They're like, well, if your grades stay up, like, we'll let you stay off of it. And I was able to keep grades up. I was able to keep, you know, all that stuff going. But it's so funny how, and that's one of the things I think that one of the reasons why we opted to homeschool, you know, all of those traits I see within my kids, like just that. And I think that for me, I didn't want to have to put them in a position where I felt like their natural giftings had to be, and I don't want to say that this would have happened, but, you know, it's always my fear from my experience that where natural giftings would have had to be suppressed in order for them to fit within what was necessary for that school system, you know, and because you never want your kids to go in and be the distraction to other kids. And that's what I was always afraid of. I was like, man, they're going to end up talking too much. They're going to end up this, they're going to be in trouble. And that was one of the prayerful things that we brought in when we talked about like homeschooling was for us, the necessity of, we want our kids to be able to navigate that without us having to try to control it.
Yeah.
And I will say that there's been some moments where I'm just like, okay, I need to give you, like, you guys need some medicine now. Y'all drive me nuts.
Yeah.
But
you
like,
just always have to find a way to stimulate them. So
yeah.
Whether it's go outside or you break up the lessons to make it a little bit more. So I was talking to Melina a little bit about it because we had considered it with Skylar for different reasons.
Yeah.
But that was a good point, because one of the ladies that was sitting at the table brought it up that her child also has ADHD. So how do you handle it? Melina gave us some good advice about breaking up the lessons. If they start getting frustrated, just stop and move on to something else. So I can tell at Sky School, you know, it's very structured. I mean, it's the typical school day. They're there for 7-8 hours. They have their hour long class. So she does fairly well at school, but she is She's crazy. I know you've met her.
She's not
I know
that.
You saw her fall in the lobby yesterday.
Oh, she was spinning so hard. She was like, I'm going after
she
it.
She is crazy all the time, which That's I love great. So much because I see so much of me and her. And I like love that. And I encourage the creativity. But we also try and hone in on, okay, it's homework time. We need to really focus. We really need to bring it down because I know how bad I struggled with it, too. So, I know she's good in school. She gets good grades, but I know she talks a lot. I know she's a distraction. First week of school, she came home. She said, Mom, she moved me and my friend. We're not sitting by each other anymore. I said, well, I could have told you that was going to happen, girl, because you are chatty Cathy all the time. So we're struggling with that a little bit right now. So
yeah, it's super fun. Like kids, I don't know. Kids just have that way of bringing up all sorts of things that you never thought that you could understand as a person. And then all of a sudden you feel all of those things at one time and you're like, okay, I need to go sit down. Like, I don't know what it is, man. Yeah. Kids are just.
They're so fun and they're so innocent. And she asks the craziest things that I'm like, where did that come from in your brain? And how did you think that was okay to come out of your mouth as well?
That's hilarious.
We just walked through, so my uncle just passed away, which has been very hard. And I tried to explain it to some of my friends. So I was adopted by my Nana, my papa, and my uncle, it was their son. So we were technically like on a brother-sister level.
Yeah, you're like brother-sister.
But so that's been very hard to navigate. And Skylar has been asking the most off-the-wall questions about death and trying to understand it and specifically like what happened with him. So we've been navigating some of those questions, but she asked, like we had a visitation open casket and she wanted to make sure that he was going to have clothes on. I was like, girl, yes, he's going to have clothes on. Like, what are you asking? But those are just the questions that come out of their little minds.
I think I'm going to write that in my like will. Like, I want an open casket, no clothes. Like, I want to go back the way I came up. Nothing.
Well, I said, why would he not have clothes on? She said, I don't know. I just wanted to make sure. And I said, you're not even going to go in there. So don't worry about it, buddy.
Oh, gosh.
So I get a lot of those questions, though. Like her fish died one time and she thought he was going to swim back up the toilet. No, girl, he's gone forever.
No,
so
that's not how toilets work.
No, I don't know. It's just fun to remember some of the crazy questions I've been asked. But
oh, man. And they do. They come up with some wild stuff. Yeah. Like, we still talk about how even here, just the inquisitive nature of our children that, you know, they've been doing Sunday school here and they have the pockets, the kangaroo. And, we always talked about how like, and I didn't know that pockets even existed. That wasn't a thing for me, but like Amy and Ellen have been teaching with this thing for like 20 years. Anyway, he said, well, is pockets a boy or a girl? Mm. So I text Amy and I was like, is pockets a boy or a girl? She's like, oh, it's a boy.
Oh, good.
And he goes, okay, well, is he called pockets because he has a pocket or is he just called pockets just because? And so I had to ask that question. Because what he was deciphering was, how can pockets be a boy and have a pocket? And so once we had that conversation back and forth on text with Amy, and she's like, oh my gosh, we have a transgender kangaroo. No, and so it was the funniest, it was like the funniest dinner time conversation for us. We still talk about that with Amy down there. And, and it, you know, we found like the source of it, but it was just kind of this hilarious idea that's what they come up with. Like we're sitting there eating dinner and his mind immediately on like, and it's not even a Sunday. It's like a Wednesday or a Thursday. Like it's not even a normal day of the week. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. Like
it's out of nowhere.
It's like,
too.
Has that been sitting in your brain all week?
Yeah. And usually it has. And then they just randomly think right now is the time to do it.
Yeah.
Or like this morning, Skylar had a bad dream about bumblebees.
Bumblebees.
She busted in my room, our room, scared me to death, like busted in there, flew the door open. Mama had a bad dream. I said, okay, let's go to your room. So I'm like, what was your dream about? Well, the bee was chasing me. I said, that happens often. Like, get back in bed. But then she had 40,000 questions afterwards about what are we doing this week? Or are we still doing this week? Or did my elf move? No, it hadn't. And I said, oh my gosh, I don't know. Let me go look. Do you guys do Elf on the Shelf or any version of?
No.
Oh my gosh. I wish we had never started it. I wish we had never brought that little thing into our home because having ADHD and trying to remember to do that one thing every single night, And I make up every excuse, or I have ChatGPT send her a letter from the album why the heck she didn't move. And I'm like, oh, look, she emailed us another letter on why she's still in the same place for the fourth day.
So you had to like create an email account and go into.
Well, I sent it to my husband and I'm like, hey, pretend like she emailed you. So he just pulls it up on his phone and hands it to Skylar. But it has been. This year has been the most rough year of trying to remember to do it. So I got to figure out how to age her out, because Sky is at the age where she doesn't believe in Santa Claus anymore, which is totally fine. I never wanted to do Santa in the first place. And then now she believes in this elf, and she believes the elf leaves every night and goes to Home Depot to get recharged and come up with new ideas. So I'm like, what do I do? How do I tell her like this elf is?
Why Home Depot?
I don't know.
Of all the places.
Of all the places. We were driving to school the other day and she told me, she was like, I can't wait for Bella to come back from Home Depot. And I said, what is she doing at Home Depot?
Somewhere John has told her, oh, she's at Home Depot. Don't worry about her. And he's like, hit her in a drawer somewhere. she's still at Home Depot.
I have no idea. But I don't know. I don't know how to phase that out, but I'll figure it out over the next
year. Throw a retirement party. Maybe like she's retiring.
She is from Home Depot. Oh, we get her little Home Depot vest. She's going to be a permanent employee of the... That works. And she's never going to return to our house.
And this is the beauty of ADHD. This is what we come up with when perfect brains get together. We do like this Christian version, which is called Shepherd on a Search.
Yeah.
But it's the same idea. Like you're supposed to move him different places and you read devotional and then he's supposed to make it to the manger. Mm-hmm. And they get to name him. And my kids come up with they're like, let's call him Shep.
Yeah.
That's literally what he is. You can't. All right. It's fine. We don't care.
What if we were all named after our professions?
Oh, gosh. That'd be terrible. Like, I don't know what I would be. I'd probably be some sort of depends on where I was at. Like, if I was back in Texas, I'd be a taco, you know? But if I'm like here, they don't know what an El Pastor taco is.
No, we don't. We wish we did, probably.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, are they delicious?
Food is so different there.
Yeah. Well, when I visit my sister in California,
it's different.
Like, it's like authentic. And then we come up here and I'm like, three amigos, you're not cutting it. Sorry, but you're not.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's a few bright spots in there, but there's been a few of them. I'm just like, I don't know what this is. That is not queso. Like,
no,
that
it's
is.
Not. No.
Yeah. Once you get a taste of something real authentic, but mm-hmm. I've also learned here that spicy is not something that people do around here.
No.
Like spice is just not.
No.
Where for us, it was like, I need a little bit more hot sauce. Like how hot can we get this? You know? But I don't know.
We're the same. Our family was very bland growing up. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, that's
your
all right.
Cooking was great. But my younger sister is married and her husband, his dad's Indian, his mom is from here. And so they eat spicy food. So he's introduced us to a ton of spicy. And my husband loves it. My husband loves spiciness. Yeah. But my sister and I are like, we can do without. You guys put it on whatever you want. And we're good not to.
There's a point where I appreciate the flavor more than I appreciate the heat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to me, I used to never really enjoy Mexican food. That was more Melina. Like I'm more of like a carbs guy. Give me pastas. Yeah. I'll eat any sort of pasta all day long. But she was always wanting just enchiladas and all that good stuff. And so, but then when we moved here, I never realized like how much I appreciated that and how much I missed it. And so it has been interesting kind of getting used to new food.
Yeah.
But there's just some things where it's just like, just not the same.
No. I will tell you, like, my sister just visited this past week for my uncle's funeral, and I told her, I was like, can you bring me In-N-Out burger? Because it's only West Coast, and I every time we go out there, I'm like, I want it so bad. And it's literally the same as, like, if you went and got a cheeseburger at Whataburger or whatever in North Carolina down here. So, I mean, it's good, but she didn't need to fly with a cheeseburger from In-N-Out for me.
We've got... there's Courtney here at the church. Mm-hmm. So her family lives back in Texas. Her mom's coming to visit for Christmas.
Mm.
And I think her mom is flying some tamales up and she's like, do you want some tamales?
Oh,
and I was like, yes, I want tamales. Like,
yes, please.
As long as it comes from the trunk of a lady's car, I want whatever is there.
That's good. I will tell you, up at the street at Blue 42, they have like a little container and they have breakfast tamales in there.
Really?
And one of my best friends, they eat tamales all the time. They make them. She grew up on them. And she said those ones up there are really good. So
at,
if you're looking
at Blue 42,
at Blue 42. So, you know, they've got the front half is social. The back half has like coffee, and then they have a little container. And I know it comes from a little shop down the road. I don't know who it is. It's on the packaging. But if you're looking for a breakfast tamale, you might need to hit them up early.
Any sort of tamale. Oh yeah. My gosh. Anything that's going to go straight to my hips. I'm super, super fan of.
I know. I love baking. So for me, it's like I make all the sweets like brownies, cookies, anything. And I've really gotten into it this year on expanding what I'm baking. So I started making our own like pizza dough and like our own. So I'm like Betty Crocker over here.
Gotten into the sourdough phase though yet.
No, I will not. That really? Looks, my mom makes it. And they went to India with my sister for her wedding 2 years ago. And she asked me to watch it and keep it alive. I said, if you have to keep food alive, I'm not doing it. I cannot do that. I have to make sure I stay alive and my child stays alive. We couldn't even keep the fish alive. No.
If you have to keep it alive, you're not doing it. That's hilarious.
Not if it's food.
Melina tried the sourdough thing for a while. But it got to a point where I'd ask her, I'd come home and say, well, did you feed your sourdough today? Great. She's like, no, I'll do it tomorrow. I was like, that's not how this works. Yeah. Like you got to feed it. And it was like a 100-something-year-old sourdough.
Yes.
And so eventually I said, let's just put it in the fridge and we'll see what happens.
Goodness.
So I have this thing in the back of my fridge. I don't even know what color it is now. But I just leave it in the mason jar. And I'm like, one of these days, it's fine. I'm like, that's not fine. Like that's obviously some sort of like black plague fungus thing that just needs to get thrown out.
Yeah. It may be the cure for one of these diseases that we don't have a cure for. So keep it just in case. Yeah. I will say my mom and my sister make it often and they named theirs. So my mom's is Herman and my sister's is Harold because they've come from the same starter. So they're brothers. And my sister makes a lot. She makes like cinnamon rolls. She makes cinnamon toast, like where you put it on there and wrap it up and all that stuff. I'm just not that fancy. I'm like, I can make pizza dough and it's easy.
Yeah. It's so much easier for me just to go to the store and buy yeast.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, people have been doing it for a long time. It'll be fine.
No.
But we've had friends that they do the sourdough stuff and they do a really good job.
Yeah.
Even Kaylee down in the office, you know, she's starting her little like homesteading baking type thing. She's got her chickens and her eggs and she's got her little sourdough and
I love that.
So it's fun talking to her. Like, how's your sourdough doing? You know, but
is it alive?
It's like another person in your house, right?
I mean, you have to feed it. So clearly it's either Skylar the cat or the sourdough at this point. So.
Definitely take care of the cat and Skylar first. And then John, take care of him.
Yeah. He can fend for himself. He's good. I will say I did fall in love with sourdough before we moved here. We lived in Deep Creek in Virginia. And one of our neighbors would put out a cooler every Sunday with what she would bake. And it was so good because she would have sourdough, she'd have jalapeno sourdough, she would have cheddar sourdough.
Nice.
And she actually just opened a bakery off of Kempsville Road. It's called Ginger Sweets. And it's so good that I will make that drive, that like 35, 40 minute drive to get her sourdough or to get whatever sourdough based treats that she has. And I do love it. I just will not spend the time making it myself. So. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like for me, like once I realized, well, you got to stretch and fold, you got to do this. I was like, I just don't have time to do that. Like I barely have enough time to like throw something together in a pan and be like, hey, here's dinner, you know, and then to sit there and go, hold on, I gotta do my stretch and folds. Like,
you
shouldn't have to do yoga on your bread.
On your
like
bread.
That's not,
no,
shouldn't happen.
No, I do like, so pizza dough is so easy because it just rises on its own and then you just punch it and it doesn't get its feelings hurt and then it lays flat. So perfect.
I love that it doesn't get his feelings hurt. That's awesome.
Sourdough will just out of there if it's not done correctly.
Yeah, it'll just be like, no, I'm not rising. I'm not doing anything for you. I'm going to be finicky.
And you're like, I just put so much effort into you and you're not doing anything at all. How do you think God feels about us, right? He's like, I put a lot of effort into you. You guys are doing what now?
There you go. That's your book to write.
Yeah. Sourdough and Jesus.
Sourdough and Jesus.
I don't even do anything.
I don't even do sourdough, but I just imagine.
I love Jesus, though. So we can make it work.
Oh, I'm sure there's somebody out there that's probably writing that book now. And it'll have
sourdough
something.
Picked up this year, though. Like, it was the... If I was on social media, it was like sourdough, sourdough, sourdough. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I think what really happened, because we talked about this, the COVID fear.
Yeah.
I think that really did spark a lot in people of just struggling through. Like you'd go to the store and you couldn't find some of the basic things you needed. And so that's when I think people really started saying, well, why do I need to rely on the store to do the basic things? The problem that we have though is like, even today we were cooking eggs for breakfast and, you know, normally we get, when Alexis's chickens were producing, we get eggs from her, or like when Kaylee would have extras, she'd bring some, or we have our neighbor behind us, they have chickens. And so there's a huge difference between store-bought chicken eggs and like fresh chicken eggs.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at them, I was like, golly, these scrambled eggs look sick. Like they just look sad and sick and lonely. Because we're so used to that bright yellow yolk at this point.
So you need chickens.
Yeah. And so Melina's like, well, we could just spend like $500 and get a chicken coop and get our own. I'm like, or
hear me out.
Somebody else has already got a bunch of eggs lying around. I'm sure that I can just buy them from them. So it's just one of those things too, where I think that COVID thing said, well, I need to figure out how to be more self-sustaining. But the problem is it's a supply demand culture where before you could be self-sustaining, people didn't think about chickens at all. They were just like, oh yeah, like, I'll give you these chickens. Like, just get them out of my way. Or now it's like, oh, you want chickens?
I'm going to charge you.
I'm going to charge you a lot of money for this chicken. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But being self-sufficient is awesome though. Cause it's,
I wish,
like,
it didn't cost so much.
I agree with that, but it's like, that's how we should be eating. That's how we should be living. We should be eating, you know, out of our gardens. We should be, you know, using our chickens and whatever for eggs. But, I don't know. I feel like I've become more self-sufficient as far as like making food. And like, even yesterday I made butter. My husband was like, can you make me mac and cheese? And I was like, we don't have butter. I was like, I can make butter. And I just made it. So it's funny how you just kind of figure things out as you need them. So,
yeah. And that's one of the things I did ask one of our farmers one day. We were driving around and they were doing that comparison between like some of those old tractors that you see. And I had to ask that question. I was like, well, why do you not use tractors like that anymore? Well, because the equipment's gotten bigger, because now farming is more industrial than it is back in the day when everybody kind of had their own little patch and they all canned and they all did these things and they stored up and stocked up and they bartered and they traded and all this. It says now, you know, farming is seen as something that's an industrial thing. And so with that, you have to have bigger equipment, bigger this, bigger horsepower, bigger this. You know, it's just like, it's amazing how we do that. And I think it even happens in church life too, where even in church, we feel like we have to always be keeping up instead of just enjoying. And that's one of the things I do love about here. That's one of the slogans I always try to tell people, that at Providence, we just try to be a church, right? Just church, no frills.
Right.
It's just who we are. Like, you know,
I think that's what I love about being here is because it's just, it's church. You come, you learn about God, you're loved on by the people here. And it's just such a special place. I mean, even our families came for our baptisms a couple weeks ago, and my great grandma was like, you have a really cool pastor. And I was like, yeah, he's pretty cool. And then one of my parents' friends watched it online and she texted me about it and was like, commending you for just like how cool and how like normal of a pastor you are. And I'm like, what kind of churches do y'all go to that don't have normal pastors?
I don't understand that. Like, I've had some people can't talk today. People will tell me, they'll be like, man, you're just like a normal guy. And I was like, where do you go normally? Because I don't know how you can pastor a church and not just be a regular person.
Yeah. And friendly and welcoming and super. And that was what stood out to me too. When we first came is you were right there and you're like, let me show you where to check Skylar in and walked us all the way down and showed me where to go upstairs. And I will say, you know, having gone through all of these different churches and trying to figure out where is my home church and praying over the churches as we were there and trying to figure it out, this one, it just felt like home because you were so plugged in from the beginning. And you don't see that a lot now, which, you know, as somebody who tested these other churches, I mean, I never really met the pastor on day one or day two or a month in, or when I was even at my parents' church for a couple of years, I like never knew the pastor. I never got plugged in. It was just a very odd experience. So I can relate to some of those people that have made those comments, and it's been so different here. And that's why I felt like, yeah, this is home. This is where God has intended for us to be.
Yeah. And I know that even here, like when you look at the past history of Providence, they've had moments where it has been, the pastor's not been accessible, right? Like he's not been available. And I've always tried to make it to where, you know, I'm at least there. I may not be able to do everything, but I'm going to do my best to try to do what I can. And at least my door is going to be open. Mm-hmm. Like if you need to just pop in and say hi, like I'm here.
Yeah.
And I've had people just text like, hey, are you at the church? I need to chat. Like, yeah, let's go for it. And so I try to always make those opportunities available. The hard part is there's moments where I have to like, you know, I may have a late evening with meetings, but that means that I may not come in that morning just so I can spend time with my family and try to balance that out. And that's been a hard, that's been the hardest part, I think, right now is that, that, that church work, I guess for me, it's work. For most people, it's like church. For me, it's partly occupation. Yeah, and so balancing that out to where,
I think like any career field though, that work-life balance has to be there. So like for you, I mean, I've even seen it in my brother-in-law's a youth pastor as well. My sister worked for the church for a while. So their schedules were always, you know, we have to work Saturday and Sunday, so we might not work Monday and Tuesday. So it's just the work-life balance that you have to create too for yourself and your family.
Yeah. And that's one of the things too, like that we're getting ready to come up, hopefully here within this next year, we're going to try to take a couple weeks of intentional break, like not just, not a vacation, but just like an intentional time to recharge, to get away, to get back into kind of a new routine, but we'll see. It's all about whether or not it fits in the schedule.
Yeah. Well, you need a reset sometimes. So I know for HR, like for me specifically in the industry that I'm in, we get a decent reset towards the end of the year. Everybody kind of slows down. We have manufacturing plants that close. So it's like, we can't send people in. So it kind of really has ticked down a lot this past couple of weeks, which has been nice because then it allows for you to like reset. Mm-hmm. And from my work standpoint, if you will, it allows me to go through all the emails I haven't been able to get to or reset our system so that it looks a little bit nicer and cleaned up, or, you know, schedule more candidate interviews between myself and candidates to make sure they're aligned for the new year. So it's definitely a reset in every career field, I think, right now.
Yeah. I'm always on supercharge mode because as soon as we turn around from Christmas, we're right into Easter, and then from Easter right into summertime, and then from summer into the fall kickoff. And so that's what we're trying to figure out, where it's going to fit. Probably towards the end of May. I don't know, maybe beginning of May, honestly, because our homeschool group ends towards the beginning of May. And when June hits, it's all VBS.
Yeah. I heard you go big for VBS. I'm excited.
We have, and when I first got here, that wasn't really a thing. I mean, there were certain things that when I first came, I said, okay, well, we're going to start small. Mm-hmm. One of the things was building a culture of just, being welcoming and personable, like trying to build that culture. I think that in the past, people had not, what's a good way to describe this? Without getting in trouble. It just wasn't talked about. Like it was, you know, Sunday was a time for reverence, and then like calm solidarity and quiet, you know, reverence. And I just thought, that's just not me.
Right.
I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like to me, this is sometimes the only time of the week that I'm going to see some people.
Yeah.
And I want to enjoy that time. And I want it to be like we're at a family reunion every week. Yeah. And so we began that first year just building that. But I came to the VBS time and we were doing the space theme that year. And so what do you guys normally do for decorating? Like, oh, we kind of do like some different like posters, and then we'll maybe do this. And then I said, okay, how do you do the videos? How do you do this? Like, well, we kind of do those. I said, all right. Said, do I have a, like, do you, I don't mind decorating. Like, do you, do I have like a budget? They're like, oh, just whatever you think. And so sure enough, I got the other ADHD brains together and we said, and boom, let's build a rocket.
Yeah.
And we built a 16 foot tall rocket.
I heard about that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I heard about that because we were talking about it on a Wednesday night here and somebody was like, yeah, he built a rocket. And then what happened last year?
We did a submarine 1 year. And then last year. So it's usually Brandon Whitlow and Caleb West, Kaylee's husband.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, like, so we knew that we were doing Alaska theme this past summer. And so we said, okay, one of the things that's in Alaska is planes. How can we fit a plane in the sanctuary? And sure enough, Brandon found a guy that had a, it's like one of those, like, it's not like a plane, but it's like a ultralight, one of those ultralight type planes.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, yeah, you can just have it. And so we've found a way to stick it in the church.
Oh my goodness.
And then he built a cabin to go around the organ, Macy Thomas had a bunch of dead animals that we put all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it was,
I heard about this stuff.
It was awesome.
Like, how cool is that?
It was super fun. And to me, I always want it to be memorable for the kids. Like, yes. I like to enjoy it, but I want a kid to walk in and go, oh my gosh.
I still remember VBS from being a kid and some of like the most amazing things that I saw.
Yeah.
And then like, I mean, VBS is just such a special week for kids too. Cause it's not just church kids. It's all the kids in the community that come. So seeing that and being so excited about that, it's like walking into an amusement park and there's music and there's games and there's food and there's Jesus and there's everything.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, it's like that one week out of the year that we can be totally different.
Yeah.
And just the way that we do things. And you didn't really get to know Allie and Pitt Mm-mm. Hughes, but when Allie was here, she was here. I think she probably came to the church every day just to volunteer and do something.
Wow.
But that was
one
of the things.
I did meet her a couple weeks ago.
You did get to meet her?
Yeah.
Her and Pitt they're so sweet. They still are engaged in our church in some ways, but you know, it's hard to do that from Alabama.
It
but,
is.
But it was fun. Like that first year of VBS, she's like, hey, can I do this and this? I don't care. Have as much fun as you want. Here's butcher paper. Go to work. Yeah. You know?
And well,
so
I'm excited for this year. plug me in where you need me because my ADHD brain will help. Yeah.
It's rainforest this year. The only thing that we've contemplated trying to figure out how to build the baptistry into a waterfall, but we haven't quite figured that out yet.
I got you. Give me like 2 days and I'll come back. That's a great idea.
He's like,
you.
I got an idea.
We can find somebody that might have monkeys too and just have crazy monkeys in the.
Yeah. That'd be great.
In the chapel.
Actual real monkeys. We have real monkeys this year. That'd be funny.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, I mean, those are some of the things that when we came to church, that was.
Yeah.
We wanted it to be something where, and hopefully you've seen this, but we wanted it to be something where when you walked in, we didn't want you to feel like you were a number.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want you to feel like you could hide. And not that that's, I mean, I get it. If you're like a super introvert, you want to hide.
Yeah.
I understand that. And those guys that I know are like that.
Mm-hmm.
I try to treat them with the utmost respect and just be like, hey, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Not going to pester you. If you need something, when you're ready, you come find me. And
my
that's
husband.
It. Like, that's the only conversation I'm going to have with them. I might ask a few things about how's work been this week, how's life. But I know that just having that conversation can be exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more about it. I want you to enjoy being here.
Yeah.
And so that's always one of the things that we try to strive for. We want, for the moment you walk in, to be an enjoyable time,
mm-hmm.
to feel like we're not a cult. We're not going to yell hellfire and brimstone down you.
No.
Like, I want you to be saved. I want you to understand that hell's a real place. Heaven's a real mm-hmm. place. And I want you to spend an eternity in heaven. Like, I want those things, to be evident. but for me, the biggest piece is, man, I want you to know that through a relationship with Christ mm-hmm. first and what that looks like. So.
Yeah. And I will say you do like a fantastic job. You know, my husband's an introvert to the max. So when he has come, I mean, we got to get him back in here, but he's on his own little thing. But you told him, you said, mi casa es su casa.
Mi casa es su casa.
That was so funny. And so we still talk about that, but he does enjoy the church. He does enjoy the people. So now we'll let him walk his path and see where he goes.
And that's the thing. Warm up to it at your pace.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it at our pace.
No.
Warm up to it at your pace.
Yeah.
And then I'm always here. So whenever there's a question that comes up, I'm here to help however I can.
Yeah.
So.
Now, Skylar is the flip. She's like, if we miss church, I'm going to be mad. Like, we're going to church. We missed a couple of weeks just with the funeral and everything going on with our family. But she was so stoked to be back.
That's awesome.
And we did come to one of the Christmas nights or the family nights on that Wednesday. And she had a lot of fun doing that. So she was sad to miss last week. But we'll be here this week. Pajama
it's
night?
It's pajamas and movie night. And I think sweaters, too, or something like pancakes and sausage. And it's going to be so good.
Fun.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's going to be so fun. I was sending super tacky Christmas pajamas to one of the ladies in our small group. And she was cracking up. I was like, we should get these matching ugly Grinch fluffy robes to wear, whatever they
hilarious.
Wear. And they're so funny. But
so your
we'll
neighbor,
see.
Tammy, she would probably love that. She's a super Grinch person. Like, she loves Grinch.
I love that.
So.
Grinch is my favorite. Grinch has been Skylar's favorite. She used to be so scared of him. You know, he's a little freaky sometimes, but we love the Grinch. We have a Grinch ornament. We have, I mean, I feel like if I could decorate my house to look like the Grinch's house, John would be mad. But my favorite part of the Grinch is when he's trying to block out the music from Whoville and he puts his head in between the monkey symbols. Ding, ding. That's my favorite. And I wish, like, I wish I could have a big one of those in my living room, but we don't. So
like a big symbol,
yes.
Monkey symbol.
If the house gets too crazy, you just turn them on and he just
smacks you upside the head with the symbols.
It just blocks everything else out. That's sometimes we awesome. Need that.
That's true. Sometimes we need that.
Yeah.
So, well, hey, we did a full like hour.
Woo!
So look at us go. That's pretty amazing.
But it's been crazy.
But it's been good kind of chatting and just getting to know you a little bit more. Yeah. And hopefully people out there get to know you guys a little bit more, you and Skylar and John. And, you know, what we love is we love having you guys. We love that you've gotten plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
You've been serving. You've been volunteering. And, you know, biggest thing is, man, just don't get burnt out on it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it at your pace. And then however we can help, we'd love to have it. But hey, thanks so much for being
thanks for
today.
Having me. This has been so fun.
Of course. Of course. It goes by so fast. It you
does.
Don't think about
I'm like
it.
An hour. Thank you.
But if you guys out there listening, if you got any comments or if you want to jump in on any one of these, feel free to just reach out to me. I'd love to get you plugged in. Other than that, hope you have a great week.